just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Happy September to everyone out there. And we're doing a live show in Jacksonville today, but we take calls from all over. We have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. So you could be in Florida, you could be in New York, you could be in California. That's kind of early in California, but no matter where you're listening, I need to tell you that I'm a Florida attorney, though, and only licensed in Florida. So, but if you have a question, a general question anywhere about law in general, we can talk about that. If you have a question about Florida law, give me a call. Your question can be just about anything. It's a live show. Sole purpose of the show is to come in and help people understand issues or problems they might be involved in. And your question or comment could help a lot of other people that are listening. It's all about helping people. If you have a question or a comment, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. A question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be about family law, personal injury law, real estate transactions, small claims court. Can be just about any area of law. If you have a question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. Again, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open, and we always appreciate that first call coming in to kind of get things rolling along. Most of you listening either have an estate plan or definitely want to. I had a person yesterday come in the Jacksonville office, longtime listener, kept putting off estate planning, finally came in to see me. And that's so typical. I often hear, well, I've went to one of your seminars, I heard you speak here or there, I've been meaning to come, I've got your poster sheet a long time ago, I bought your book a long time ago, saw you on television a long time ago, and I really wanted to do my estate plan, but I just kept putting it off. And then as we're talking to them and as we ask my questions that I need to get started on the estate planning, most estate plans can be done within a week or so. Sometimes we can do them on the same day, just depending on the circumstances of where I am and what you want to do. A lot of times people put off estate planning right before a big trip. So they come in the office and want to get it done right away. We can usually accommodate them. But there's no real good reason to put it off. I always tell people it's not going to get cheaper in the future to do. And it's not going to get easier to understand all the options. And if you put it off too late, it's not good. Do we have a caller on the air? I hear a little something going on there. All right, so if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. All right, we have Gary on the line here. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? What can we do for you?
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
This is Mark.
Hello.
All right. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me? This is Jason.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, we have multiple people on the line here for some reason.
I guess you got to be.
Let's talk to Gary.
A little bit.
Gary, are you there?
This is Gary.
Yeah, go ahead and ask your question.
This is Mark.
Okay, my question is regarding my home. I want to leave
Hello?
With my wife. We've been married. Are you there?
Yeah, Gary, there's two people on the line, so if I'm just talking to Gary right now somehow. So, Gary, go ahead.
Hello?
Gary, can you hear me? All right, is anybody there? I guess you should both hang up and call again. Somehow or another, calls coming in, or we must have a little telephone problem. But the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Your question can be just about any area of law. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, and so forth. Just got a message on my screen here. We have a little phone problem in Tampa. Hopefully that will be figured out very, very quickly, and we'll continue to take calls. So let me talk. I started talking about estate planning. Let me talk about estate planning. I don't know why people put things off. There are basically three options in estate planning. You can do nothing, you can have a will, or you can have a trust. Those are the three options. A lot of people who do nothing, you have, if you do think you've done nothing, you've actually done something. You've allowed the state of Florida to make your will planning for you. So that means that if you die, your estate would be distributed by statute. If it's distributed by statute, then basically people that you maybe don't want to receive assets would receive them. I'm still hearing something. Is anybody on the other end of the phone here? I hear a little something going on in my headset. Okay.
This is Mark.
Mark, are you there?
This is Mark, yeah.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, quick question. My mother recently passed away. She has her house was paid for, her car was paid for, no liens or anything. And we did the, we got an executor of the estate and everything. And my attorney finally goes, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. My attorney went to the judge. The judge says, you guys have to wait 90 days put an advertisement in the paper to make sure that nobody has any claims against your mom's estate. But I understand, why do they do that? I mean, my mother is 89 years old. She never owned a business. She was a school teacher all her life. House is paid for. Car is paid for. Couldn't the judge have just said, here, go sell the house, go do everything? This is obviously not a person who's going to have lots of debt against her.
Well, the deal is, you should ask your attorney this, but I'll talk about it in general, okay?
Yeah.
And you're calling from where?
Jacksonville.
All right, there is a set probate procedure, and that's why a lot of my clients do living trust to avoid probate. But there's a set procedure where you must put an advertisement in the paper which allows creditors to file a claim against the estate, and then there's a 90-day period where creditors can file a claim against the estate. So you don't want to distribute all the money where there's some creditor that you don't even know about existing, although you probably know there are none, and that's fine, but there's just a set procedure for everybody.
Right.
That you have to go through, you have to follow the will, petition the court, petition for a personal representative to be appointed, put an advertisement in the paper, wait 90 days for creditors to file claims against the estate, file an inventory on the estate within 60 days. There are a whole bunch of different procedures that you have to go through, and that's for everybody, so they don't make exceptions. There's multiple levels of probate. There's without administration, summary administration, formal administration. But there's set rules all along the way for everyone that has to go through, and they don't make exceptions along the way.
Well, I was told or led to believe that the judge could say, well, Miss Margaret, you were a school teacher, you're everything's paid for, you never owned a business, nothing, you obviously don't owe anybody, so go ahead and sell your house and sell the car and get on, let your kids and relatives get on with their lives, but 90 days.
Yes, sir, it doesn't work like that, so...
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Mark. All right. Let's go to Roy, who's calling.
Hello?
Yeah, Roy, where are you calling from?
Lake Wells.
Lake Wells. What can I do for you?
My wife and I are considering selling our home and buying in a 55 or plus community. However, when we buy, we want to own the property as well. And we've heard a couple of horror stories that if we buy and own the land in a subdivision like that, that if somebody came in and got hurt, that would make us liable as well. Is that true or false?
No, there's some common property that all the residents share, but you're not personally liable for the common area injury that might happen.
Okay, then what we're hearing is not true, then that's good.
Yeah, no, I don't think you'd all be responsible for someone who gets hurt in the community swimming pool, for example, or something like that.
Yeah, because we're not wanting to move in a place where we have to rent the lot. We want to own the property. We just don't want anything coming back on us and us losing everything.
Well, you might have an attorney look at the closing papers just to make sure there's nothing unusual. And should probably have an attorney look at the closing papers anyway. So, okay. And then they can look at it to make sure there's nothing unusual about your situation. But let's say you rent inside an apartment building. And somebody gets hurt on another floor, you're not responsible. Somebody gets hurt in the parking lot, you're not responsible. They're just common areas associated with some communities. But the residents are usually not responsible for anything that happens, you know, in the community on an injury that's not related to you or not directly on your property that you own.
Okay. Well, that makes me so much better.
All right. Thanks.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Thank you. Yeah. Let's go to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hi.
Jason, hi. Where are you calling from?
Lakeland,
okay.
I have a question, and these are just general law questions, right, not just about housing, correct?
It can be just about anything. If I know, I'll be glad to share with you. If I don't know, I'll tell you that, too.
Well, I have a friend. He got a felony 34 years ago, and I received one 9 years ago. There's hotel damage done, and my question is, how effective with the internet the way it is nowadays is it to get your say you expunge the felony?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still all over the internet, or do they have to abide by that?
Well, no, you can, on some of these cases, you can have expunged or sealed. So the current,
right.
The current information is not available at that point. There might be some past history that somebody saved or something that they could still put on the internet.
Well, like if, you know, go to buy a home and, you know, I have a 9-year-old felony because of the hotel damage that was done because I didn't have the money. And so, I'm just curious, you know, if I get that expunged, is all my information still all over the internet, or is that something?
Yeah,
if
it's expunged, sure. If you get it expunged and sealed, or just expunged, is this if it's so that you never have to admit that you did it? It's like it's disappeared.
Well, okay. Then another part of that question: with an expunged record like that, are my civil rights restored?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. You are listening to Attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Stacy in Davenport.
Good morning.
Hey, Stacy.
I have a question about my mom. My dad passed away a year and a half ago. Right before he passed away, he had put a roof on his house. He had a contract and everything with a roofing company. We did not know who it was because the insurance checks came in his name and another guy's name. We got a hold of that guy. He told us that he was a middleman for the approval for the roof. We gave him his money. We held on to the checks for a year thinking, we couldn't find anywhere where my dad had paid for this, had paid for the roof, so we held on to the check. Just surely somebody's going to come back for their money.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't come back. Now, 2 years later, they're coming back for their money, and I need to find out, because we obviously let my mom use the money at that point after a year. I need to find out what they can do as far as what the best option is. My mom has an annuity that she could withdraw from, but the financial guy said if she withdraws from it, it's basically going to ruin that entire account. So then at that point, she might as well just close that account and put the rest in the IRA. We don't know if we should go that route because now she's going to have to pay huge taxes. Or do I have the option to start paying this guy like $100 a month and have him accept it? Or can he put a lien on the house? Or if he does put a lien on the house, what does that mean? Because we're trying not to sell the house if we can help it, and that's all.
Well, first of all, if you offer him
$100,
if you offer him $100 a month, he would have to accept it. I mean, you just can't say this is all I'm going to pay you, and that's it. They have
rights. He said, no way. He said, I'm not taking that. He offered a 12-month loan that they have. I said, that's $800 a month. She's on Social Security. It's not going to happen.
All right. Well, the answer to your question is they do have the right, if they did work on the house, to put a lien on the house. And if they put a lien on the house, then they can start a foreclosure procedure if it's not paid. That's because they did work on the house itself. The person who did work on the house himself can put a lien on the house.
Okay, and the house is paid for.
So that's not good. You know, that's good, but it's not good because you put a lien on the house and it's foreclosed to pay the creditor, then you lose the house even though you got it paid off.
So they can foreclose on it? They can't leave a lien on it until we decide to sell it?
No. They can start to foreclose the lien.
Okay. That's what I was
wondering. And then if they did sell the house, they would take the money from the roof and give your mother the rest of the money. So it's going to be best to figure out if it's a true claim. I mean, they can prove they did the work.
It is. Yeah, it is. They sent me the contract and everything that my dad had signed.
Well, I would take, I would do whatever I could to make payments. If you have to take, maybe how old is your mother?
She is 80.
Okay, so she can get a reverse mortgage.
Really a fan. We're trying to keep the house so we can keep it in the family. And then that's what my ultimate goal is. I don't want to have to lose the house to the government or whatever, you know, with the reverse mortgage kind of thing. But
It's a mortgage. I mean, all you're going to have to do, you're not going to have to make any payments. You're going to get the money on the reverse mortgage to pay off the roof. That'll be the only debt on the house. You don't have to make, as long as she's living, she doesn't have to make payments. And then the heirs can figure out how to pay it off when she, how much was the roof?
It was like, they're saying they got it down to like 9,000 something. They're saying they're giving us a discount of about 2,000 because of the circumstances.
All right. Well, I think a reverse mortgage in this case would be an excellent choice. And I have a couple of people that I could refer to you on a reverse mortgage. But basically,
in a reverse mortgage, you can pay that off, and you don't have to. They don't have to have the house as long as the loan is paid off.
All right, here's how it would work. Your mother would draw $9,000 out on reverse mortgage. She'd pay the roofer. As long as she lives, she doesn't have to make any payments on that. And when she dies, let's say the loan has grown to $12,000 due, the heirs then can refinance or come up with the money somehow to pay off the loan, they still get the house.
Gotcha. Either that or it's to take out her annuities and close that account out and just pay them and be done with it.
Well, you have adverse tax situations to that, so I don't think I would do that. I think the reverse mortgage would be the better choice.
Okay.
But, well, you know, I would at least, at minimum, I would talk to a reverse mortgage person and let them explain everything to you.
Right.
And then make your choice.
I just didn't know at that point. Now, let me ask you this, too. If she gets a reverse mortgage, she can she pull out what she wants? And then because I thought about adding on to my house so she could live there with us and then us keep her house and be able to just rent it out as a vacation home.
You know how
you can get a home equity? Can you do that in that situation?
Well, you could get a home equity loan and do that. I'm not sure if you're not the primary tenant there, the reverse mortgage would work if that's the case. Really need to sit down with the reverse mortgage guy, discuss all this, and then come up with a plan. And see what the tax consequences would be for pulling out the annuity versus the reverse mortgage and just make a decision.
Yeah, so if they don't have to accept me paying $100 a month
No, they don't. Then they can slap a lien on your house and then foreclose on the lien.
Okay, because I thought in the beginning you said they have to accept it if I'm giving it to them.
Maybe that was wishful hearing on your part, but no, I didn't say that.
Okay.
They can definitely foreclose.
All righty.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Joyce in Davenport.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Joyce.
I was wondering about the call that you said you had to put it in the paper?
Yeah, on probate. Mm-hmm.
I do it or you do that if you're my attorney.
No, if I was handling your probate, of course you're still living, so that's not going to happen, you know, anytime soon.
No, I'm talking about somebody that passed away.
Yeah, so if we're handling the probate, we would take care of putting the advertisement in the paper, yes.
Okay. Because I did get a letter from the circuit court, but I guess I have to talk to you about it. And you were supposed to call me on Wednesday or Thursday. I did not hear from you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Don't hang up and give your phone number to the producer. He'll shoot me an email to give you a call. I'll call you today.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you.
You have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open now. Got a good string of calls there. The phone lines are open, though, at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. So we're talking about this. Had a couple of questions here about probate. Most of my clients avoid probate. They want to avoid the 6 to 12 month wait normally that it takes to open and close an estate through the Florida State Probate Program. So they want to avoid that. They want to avoid the payment of advertising the estate, putting all that in the paper, making it a public record. They want to avoid the cost of probate, the filing fee, and so forth. So most of my clients, because they want to avoid the high cost of probate, the long time it takes, the fact that it's a public record, they can do a living trust and avoid all of those things. All a trust is a fancy will that avoids probate. We had Gary. I saw Gary flash back up on the screen. So are you there, Gary? Gary came off the screen, but I saw his name flash on. Gary called. There you go. Gary, are you
yes.
there? All right, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, my question is regarding my home. My wife and I.
No, were you our first caller from?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and you're in Tampa.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Give you a little background. My wife and I were married 14 years ago. I had gotten my house 30 years ago, and I was just wondering how I can avoid any kind of for her if I die, and I want to give her my house. She's not on the deed, but I want her to have the house. But I want to find out what options I have to avoid any kind of taxes for her when she gets the house. So what would be the best thing to do?
Well, do you object to putting her on the house now? Because you could just do a quick claim deed, adding her as a.
That was one of my thoughts. Just put her on the deed.
Yeah, I think if you're sure the marriage is going to work and don't have any problems with that, you could put her on the deed.
Okay, so I would have to use the same form that I did that you would do to get somebody off the deed, like a quick claim for deed?
You could do a quick claim deed.
It would just be put her back on?
Put her back on? Was she on at one time?
Yeah, in the very beginning when we first got married, then she did a quick claim for deed and got off of it. And then now I want to leave her the house, so I guess I would use the same form.
Well, I would have it. You know, we charge like $150 for a deed like that. So you could find an attorney that's not going to charge very much and just have it done properly. The attorney would have it done properly, witnessed and notarized, and would file it for you. So.
Okay, so and then she'd get the best thing to do is put her back on the deed.
Well, that's one option. You could leave it to her in a will. Of course, that would go through probate. You could leave it to her. Well, actually, you can't even transfer it to a trust without a pre- or post-marital agreement. I'm thinking probably the best way would be to put her on the deed now. Is there a mortgage due on the property?
No.
Yeah, well, you could have a post-marital agreement that if you're going to put her on the deed, but if you get divorced, she deeds it back to you, and that would be an agreement in writing.
Yeah, well, we won't have a problem with that. I mean, I know you can't foretell, but we both don't believe in that thing.
All right.
we're in our 60s. And
yeah, well, those are the options, and one option is to put her name on it with a quitclaim deed. And but if you do that, I'd have an attorney do it for you.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye. All right, let's go to Jackie in Tampa. Hey, Jackie.
Hello.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Hi. I have a question for you. Do grandparents have any rights in the state of Florida? Or
very limited rights for grandparents, unfortunately.
Okay.
Have to be some unusual circumstances for grandparents to get involved, like child abuse.
Okay.
Negligence of children. If the natural parents don't want you around, they pretty much have the right to keep you away.
Wow. That's a sad thing.
Yeah, that really is. So.
Okay. I just wondered if there was anything, so I thought I'd ask before I...
Yeah, so how old are the grandchildren?
Elementary school.
All right. Is your child the one keeping them away, or is it the in-law? Or both?
Kind of both. Maybe more than one. Just stubborn, thinking, you know, millennium children.
Yeah. No, grandparents can't force. You can't force them to make them spend time with you or anything like that, or visit you, or.
Okay.
And they don't have to let you in their home. So I mean, it's tough. It's unfortunate, but.
Yeah.
So very limited rights.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to see if there was anything, you know, just to spark the intensity of just being able to spend the time, mainly. It's not going over there or anything like that. It's just spending time.
Well, continue to show love and kindness and invite them to your home. That's what I would try.
Yeah.
I know. You have to keep at it. Love, kindness, and invitations to your home is the only thing I can tell you that might work over time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We have 23 minutes or so left in the show, so all you have to do if you want to be on is to call the number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to John in Riverview. Hey, John.
Yes, good morning. Can I ask you two questions?
You go right ahead.
One is, can I get out of a will? And number two is, how can I get out of the ADT security contract?
Okay, what do you mean get out of a will? What do you...
I don't want
to be a beneficiary. You don't want to be a personal representative. You won't...
I don't want to be a beneficiary.
Well, you can ask the person to change it. If they're living?
No, they're gone.
They're deceased?
Right.
Okay. Well, you can if you decline being a beneficiary, there's a form you can sign to do that. But then the money would be distributed as if you were deceased. So if the will says, you know, so much to John, and if he's not living to so-and-so, then you can decline to receive, and then it would go to so-and-so. You can't really direct where it would go. You can refuse an inheritance. It's just a document you sign that says you refuse to accept an inheritance.
And there's four others involved, would it be distributed amongst them?
Well, it depends on the language in the will, like I said. The will usually says to John, and if not living to so-and-so. So it would be distributed to so-and-so as if you were deceased.
It doesn't say that, though.
Well, does it say equally among the surviving of four people?
Right. Yes, it does.
Okay, well, if you were deceased, it would go to the other three then. How much money are we talking about?
$6,000-$7,000, but it's in process right now.
You could receive the $6,000 or $7,000 and just make a gift to the other people. That might be easier. If it's $6,000, just take it and give everybody $2,000.
Well, the problem is it's been going on for 12 years, and I'm getting tired of the headaches.
Yeah. Okay. On the ADT question, you just send them a letter and then tell them you want to cancel their services as soon as possible. I mean, I don't know what your contract says and what obligations you have, but send them a letter, see what kind of response you get back.
Right. Yeah, there is a fee if you do it early.
Okay, well, if you sign the contract, you're bound by the provisions of the contract. You could send them a letter telling them that you want to cancel this as soon as possible without cost. See what kind of response you get.
All right. Thanks.
All right,
you
John.
You were very helpful.
Thank you. Sir. All right. Let's go to James in Jacksonville.
Hello.
Hey, James.
This is James out of Jacksonville. Hey, I'm a renter, and my lease is up. I gave my landlord a notice for September. I'll be out end of September, okay? And she said, well, can you stay to October and we forget about the security deposit? And I said, no, I'm done in September. And now she's looking for all these reasons to keep my security deposit. And I don't know what games or what grounds I have to stand on when there's no damage or nothing like that to the house that I'm renting. So I don't know where to go. Or should I just not pay this month's rent and make her use it, the security deposit for that? I'm not really sure where to go with this.
No, she would have to give you a valid reason within 15 days after the lease, I believe, is the timeline, is over, as to why she kept your security deposit. If you object to that, then you might wind up in small claims court to get it.
Okay, because I thought about just using the, telling her to use my security deposit for last month's rent.
The best legal thing to do is to go ahead and pay your rent, wait for her to see what she files to why she's going to keep your security deposit, and then object to that. And if she's just on a direct course to keep your security deposit, then you're going to have to probably fight her to get that back in small claims court.
Okay, because I know she's having a hard time with money, and now she's trying to get mine out of my pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's fair. So you're saying I should just go ahead and pay her and then go
through
that whole process?
Well, the legal answer would be to pay her. If you want to do something else, you can do that yourself on your own. But the legal answer would be to pay her rent, wait for her to give you a reason at the end of the lease within 15 days as to why she's keeping your security deposit, object to the reason, and then go after her in small claims court for the money.
Okay.
What I would do, this is not a legal answer.
Okay.
I would go down and say, look, give me a reason to why you're going to keep my security deposit. Because absent a good reason, what I would like to do, now this is not a legal.
Right.
This is
right.
Not legal. What I would like to do is to have you use my security deposit because I don't think you have any reason to keep it as my last month's rent. So tell me why you would want to keep my rent so maybe I can get it fixed before the end of the period. And I don't like the way it's going here that you're going to just want to keep my security deposit without a valid reason. Tell me the reason you think you want to keep it. Try to nail her down. And then at the same time, maybe delay a little bit in making the payment while she's in this process of trying to decide where she's going to keep it. So that's not a legal answer. That's just a little strategy on how to deal with her, because if you don't pay your rent on time, there could be a late fee or something that I'd be concerned about.
Now tell me this. Shouldn't my security deposit be in escrow waiting for me?
Should be.
And she would have to prove that if we went to court, right?
You could make a demand like that, yes.
Okay, because she just spent my money. I'm pretty sure of it because she wanted me to extend out and forget about the security deposit, and I'm pretty sure that money's gone. So I'm gonna try to. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm just wondering what legal grounds I had to stand on.
Go put a little. Tell her that you want before you make the again, this is not a legal answer because you could suffer some late fees right. or late payment. You tell her that you really would like to make the payment, but you really, by the 10th day of the month or whatever time period you have, but you really want to know what the reason is for where she might want to keep your security deposit because you could probably fix it cheaper yourself and make it perfect by the end of your lease so that you could get all of your money back.
Right. All righty. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Joe in Bradenton.
Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, so originally I am from Indiana, and back in like 2015, I got arrested for a D felony, which took me 2 years, but I beat it. And so now I'm down here after my divorce, and I went to the gun show in March, and I purchased two firearms. And it took, I was going to call you when I first heard you, but it finally went through. It took 6 months to get approved to have handguns or any firearms in Florida because I was actually just arrested for the felony, and they had to prove that I didn't actually get any charges for a felony. Now, I guess my question originally was going to be, you know, am I still eligible to get firearms, but I found the answer out finally. But I guess my next question would be, am I going to have to go through that every time I want to buy firearms in Florida, or is it now a thing where, oh, they see that they've done it once?
Well, I would think now that they've seen you can do it once, it's not going to be that much of a problem next time. Why don't you try to get a concealed, before you buy your next weapon, why don't you try to get a concealed weapons permit if you have a clean record?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do. I didn't realize, I have one for Indiana, but I didn't realize that it's, once you switch over your license, it's invalid here. So, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to try to do.
Yeah, try to do that, and then that should make you breeze through all the next purchases.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
I love the show.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. I'd like to give you my free estate planning poster sheet if you're interested. So even if you have an estate plan, you might want to take a look at this. It goes through some of your options and things you might not think about on estate planning. There are five articles on one side about wills, trust, probate. There on the other side has all of our office locations. We have 20 office locations, and then we have the local phone numbers and addresses for all of those on our poster sheet. So after I talk to John in St. Petersburg, I'm going to give you the info on how you can get that, so maybe grab something to write with or write on there, and let's go to John in St. Pete.
Yes, hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm interested in what you were just talking about, a will, the no probate type. Is that
Yeah, living trust avoids probate. When you put assets in it.
Yes, I think the living trust I would be interested in. And I'm in St. Petersburg, specifically in Five Towns.
Yeah. I've been a speaker there multiple times to the men's club.
Yes, I believe I've heard you have.
Yeah. And I have an office there in Largo, of course. Okay, I'm going to give you the information right after we finish for everyone that can get our poster sheet. I gave those out at the men's club, but I'll be glad to send you one if you want to send in for it. So,
could you just briefly give me a number? Is Largo your nearest office?
Yeah, for you. It'd be in Largo. The number there in Largo is
727-586-586.
Yeah. 3306.
3306. Okay, and then I'll wait for the information you're going to give out.
All right, very good.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right, if you're listening, we like our free estate planning poster sheet. I give these out at seminars, all speaking engagements, and every week, at least once, I'll offer it on the radio to the radio listeners who would like to receive it. And by the way, I do a lot of speaking engagements here and there. I just got invited last week to speak to the Lakeland City employees. So I'll be doing that on Thursday morning. We have upcoming seminars here and there. And if you need a speaker to your group, I'd love to come. So the toll-free office number to make those arrangements are 1-800. You have a coffee club, you have a seniors club, you have a church meeting you'd like me to come speak at, retirement, we have a government retired program, I speak at those sometimes. So if you'd like a speaker to come to your club, there's no fee, no charge, love to do it. So the toll-free number to arrange that is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. If you want our free estate planning poster sheet, you can get it one of three ways. You can call the toll-free office number, request it. We just need your name and address. If you want to leave a message this weekend on the phone, you could do that as well. Just need your name and address. You would call 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. That's 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you'd like to email me your name and address, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. By the way, attypip.com is our website for you to visit if you like. And also, you can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. If you have an urgent reason to call me, you can use my cell number, 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Cliff in Clearwater.
Hey, Cliff. Hi, Joe. Thank you very much for taking my call. Recently, my mother passed away July 12th. She had a husband that had a lot of criminality, very abusive, and often took off for 6 months at a time, went to other states and lived and come back. But anyway, he was her legal husband. He's 85 years old. She was 90. She had a will. And he's not mentioned anywhere in the will of the house. Mm-hmm. The deed of the house doesn't show his name anywhere on the house. Now, since she's died, the family's been told that he has living rights in the house. As long as he's alive, he can stay in the house. Now, he can't sell the house. He can't do much to the house, but he's supposed to maintain the house, keep up the bills, and he can stay there till he dies. Now, a couple of questions are, what happens if he doesn't, you know, pay the taxes, doesn't pay the you know, the sewer, the recycling fee, the garbage? You know, what recourse does the family have?
Well,
to?
A life tenant, by the way, I hope he's not listening, because he does have the right to sell the house and take half the proceeds. But
really, even though his name is not
yeah,
on the deed?
Yep.
And even though the house has been willed to the family?
Doesn't matter. He has a spousal right. But as a spousal right, as a life tenant, if he chose that option, doesn't know about or doesn't choose to sell it within 6 months, I believe, then he loses the right to sell it, but he still has the right to live there. A life tenant has the right to a life tenant has the duty to pay the taxes, maintenance, and general upkeep. If he fails to do that, he could evict him.
Yeah, but I mean, the family could. We'd have to take him to court
to evict him. Yes,
to be done. By like a judge. He's not known to be, you know, pay his bills or anything. And it just seems like you know, the fam. He was gone a lot of the times. He couldn't take care of my mother. My mother became sick. Really abusive. He had felonies, and the cops wouldn't arrest him because of his age, and they didn't want to put an old man in jail, so they basically let him, you know, go different places, come back, cause problems. Mm-hmm. And
he has a legal right to live there for life. He has a duty to pay the taxes and maintenance, and he can be evicted if he doesn't do so.
And when he doesn't pay the taxes and stuff, the family should do what?
Evict him.
Okay.
Get him out of the property.
Okay, all right.
Unless you want to be nice guys and just pay the taxes and let him live there, because you eventually will get the house, so you want to do everything you can to protect the house, and you may or may not want to have a legal battle with him to to evict him. So
yeah, well, I don't think he would do much in a legal battle because he doesn't do much. I mean, I don't think he'd even go to court. You know, his history is not one that shows up.
Then you'd get an order of eviction and have him removed.
So after the taxes aren't paid and everything's kind of shut off, we just evict him, and that would go down, even though he has rights to live there.
He's got rights to live there, but he has a duty to pay the taxes.
Now, say he gets really sick and ends up in a nursing home. The house is in limbo until he dies, correct?
Yeah, at that point, if he really has no money to pay the taxes and you want to protect the home, just go ahead and pay the taxes, and you know.
Yeah. So we're kind of obligated, but it's kind of like he's driving the boat right now until something happens, right? I mean, we can't really do more than just basically let him live there and do whatever he does, and then whatever he does, we got to take the option to counter.
Yeah, but you have the option to evict him.
Only when he fails to live up to the responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your service. I do appreciate it. I'm calling you from a little town up in upstate New York. It's nice to have internet and be able to listen to you.
Oh, great. Well, thanks so much for listening and calling. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for your service. Keep it up.
All right. I will.
Appreciate it.
All right. I've been host of Ask an Attorney for 34 years. I think it's the longest running continual program in Florida. I've done this every week, usually multiple times on multiple stations. Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. So I'm really glad to have been able to do this all these years and hope to continue. Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Great. And you?
Fine, thanks. This is another question about wills and trusts. Let's say that I put all my assets in the name of my trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I die, the successor trustee becomes trustee. How does that trustee pay or distribute my assets? In other words, let's say I have a checking account. It's got some money in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that account is it's in the name of the trust.
Mm-hmm. They take a copy of your trust to the bank along with your death certificate, flash their ID as the first successor trustee. The bank will prepare papers to make them the trustee, giving them authority to write checks out of that account.
Oh, that's all there is to it.
Yep. That's
now, I take. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's simple. And then earlier I missed your. You know, I didn't get all your show. You were talking to a caller about when I die, does my will have to be recorded? Is that the law?
All right. So if you have a living trust, the trust is a totally private document. You have with the trust what's called a pour over will. It's just a fairly simple will that leaves everything to the trust that you failed to put in there.
Yes.
And appoints a personal representative. That will would be filed with the court, but the trust would maintain where all of your distribution and asset information and so forth would be in the trust. That would be totally private.
Yes.
So, but the will would be filed. The will is supposed to be filed within 10 days,
okay.
But it's usually not. Most of the time, there's no penalty for not doing it within 10 days. It's just I call it an enforcement statute. If you're holding a person's will and I think I'm a beneficiary and you haven't filed the will, I can make you file it, or you'd be in contempt of court, excuse me,
okay.
If you don't.
Okay.
So it's kind of an enforcement statute.
Okay. So 10 days after the death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's, I certainly appreciate your answers.
All right. No problem.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have, we'd like to contact our office. We're down to about 2 minutes now, so probably won't take any other calls. So if you want to contact our office, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to have an urgent need to talk to me, even over the weekend, my cell number is 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. You want that poster sheet? Probably the easier way to do that, besides call the office, is send me an email with your name and address. And you want the poster sheet? Send that to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Hey, you have a great, long, safe weekend. Be back next week the same time. Be safe out there.